98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Landon Schmidt producing. We're with you for the next 3 hours and a lot to get into this afternoon. It'll be a lot of discussion on the NBA playoffs, as last night we got a classic Game 1 in the Western Conference Finals. Tonight, Eastern Conference Finals get started with the Cavaliers and the Knicks. So a lot of basketball talk. We got a lot more to discuss. Football, both college and the NFL. College basketball news out there. Baseball, Major League Baseball, but also college baseball. Conference tournaments getting started. We carried that Ole Miss game earlier this morning. A loss for them in the first round in Hoover, as now Vanderbilt, Kentucky in action. So a lot of baseball action today through the rest of the week with both college and major league. So a lot to get into. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well. You doing good?
Doing good. Can't complain.
That's great. That's great. Kentucky leading Vanderbilt 3-1. Single elimination at the SEC.
And that's right.
That means Ole Miss is eliminated and they will not host next weekend by all indications. Mm-hmm. But we'll probably be one of the last twos,
we'll
go on the road probably against somebody very formidable. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a little bit like 2022, hope.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Didn't know it was going to happen then. No. Don't feel like it's going to happen now, but you got to play to see. Brian, I know in the first segment yesterday I was talking about so many people want sports to be the jukebox. You just throw a couple coins in there and out comes the classics.
Sure.
Zeppelin and the Stones and the Beatles, the whole album and whoever else you may like. And sometimes you don't get that.
Right.
Sometimes you get the Bay City Rollers, and it doesn't pop out a hit. And we had a kind of a, to some, not to us, a humdrum winner of the PGA over the weekend in Aaron Ross. Sometimes the Super Bowls are, I hate this word, but they're a little on the fuddy-duddy side. They're a little bit boring. Last night, we didn't put the coins into a jukebox. We put the coins into a slot machine and hit jackpot. Big time in one of the more compelling, thrilling games that comes to mind for me that I've watched and or attended in my life. That was, and one thing of all the analysis about last night, I'm giving it away. I wish I'd have thrown it out there to see if somebody could guess it. You know, one thing you hardly even noticed last night?
What's that?
The referees.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
And in the best kind of games, you really don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The flow, the competition, the one-on-one, the team aspect of it, it was all so great between the Spurs and Oklahoma City. I can't decide who I'm for, but I know I'm for what I saw last night.
Yeah, no, I mean, if we get six more games of what we saw last night,
we're lucky if we get one more.
Sure, yeah, but I think with these two teams, we could get a few
sure
more like we saw last night because these two teams match up really, really well with each other. And last night it was the Spurs that got the win, double overtime. Really impressive stuff for them. And yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't seen anybody really complaining about the officials. I thought it was a well officiated game. There were a couple calls that, not that I disliked or anything, I just calls I wouldn't have made. But you know, other than that, I did not think the officials were a part of the game at all, which
but
was great.
No, we was robbed.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. More what I was mad of is I am one, and it makes people mad. I am one, if the shot goes in, no need to call a foul. I mean, I am one that I like the late whistle if it misses. I don't like the late whistle if it goes
well,
in.
I like
just keep going. Keep the flow of the game going. And there were a couple times that there were fouls that I was like, we could have just kept playing if and not had to call that and keep the flow of the game going. But it was nothing too crazy. And so, yeah, you know, all the talk has been about Victor Wembanyama, what he was able to do last night, you know, the rest of that Spurs team, you know, and the Thunder, you know, how well both these teams played against each other. Really making a classic, and yeah, hopefully we see some more games like that throughout the series. You know, we've been waiting for this series ever since the playoffs were set, and now that we got it, it really surpassed expectations last night, I would say.
When Mike Wilbon speaks on almost any subject, I listen. I don't always agree, but I listen, and I know how good, and I know historically what all he's been to and seen and been there, and he was talking this morning about it reminded him last night watching of what it was like being ringside at some of the Mike Tyson, you know, just overwhelming performances that he could put on. And he was also talking about he's going to be at Madison Square Garden tonight, as I think most of the media world will be.
I think so.
I mean, I hope they have room for Timothy. Who is he?
Chalamet. Oh,
and Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet broke up with his with Kylie Jenner today. So, you know, hope he's doing all right. Hope the Knicks can win for him and maybe get the things going in the better direction for him, because doesn't seem like he's in a great mood right now.
Who broke up with who?
I don't know who broke up with who. I just saw that.
Well, if he broke up with her, he's nuts.
That's true.
And she's going to be fine.
she'll be all right.
He's the one to worry about.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, but hopefully his Knicks can have his back tonight, get a big win.
Maybe so. That's what sports does. I mean, it's the great elixir when you kind of got your dauber down over life and loves and all these things. Sports can kind of cheer you up. So good luck to old Timothy tonight with that. And let's hope we never see him again on College Game Day as guest picker. I would like to see her. Bring her to Oxford in September for the LSU game. That's what we need.
She can be a guest picker. That'd be completely fine with me.
Have she and Lane on the stage together and see which ego's bigger?
Yeah, well, that would be a tough call. It would be pretty close, I would say.
That would be fun. But Michael Wilbon was talking, and he said one of the old saws of kind of series, whether it's baseball or hockey or NBA, is don't put too much on game one. Mm-hmm. I'm agreeing with him about that. But wasn't last night more than game one with the 4-1 in the regular season that San Antonio has already accrued against Oklahoma City? Oklahoma City's got to be thinking, in this age of we're supposed to be in a dynasty, we can't get through these cats.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point, because you're right. I think what at least I saw last night and what the Spurs proved to me is that, you know, they are not afraid of playoff thunder. You know, you hear all the time of, you know, well, regular season and playoff is different. You know, these teams with all the playoff experience, once it gets to the playoffs, they're a different team, they're a different animal, they know how to approach these games. Spurs showed last night they don't really care about that. They're young and they're hungry, and, you know, we always talk about those young teams that they're too young to care. This Spurs team is not that they're too young to care. They know they have a Victor Wembanyama on their team, and so they just don't care. They just know we're good. We don't need to care, because as long as we've got this guy, as long as we got some of these other pieces, we can compete with just about anybody. And last night, they showed that. They put it on full display, and it was, you know, obviously Victor Wembanyama, the big story for the night he had. But it was really everybody pitching in and doing their thing.
It was,
you know, a real team effort for the Spurs.
It was. They could get to the rim very effectively. Mm-hmm. I won't say easily, very effectively. And that coach, you know, some of the biggest shoes in the history of coaching to fill. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kalen DeBoer, I mean, you got nothing compared to this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about Mitch Johnson. I think he's done a tremendous job with this team and really, you know, making different pieces work and putting guys in roles to succeed. And, so,
and he was coaching. And his defensive specialist, Sweeney, was really that was impressive to watch and fun to watch and just – you know, I thought we'd have a good series, but game one to give us that, you know, more.
Yeah, oh no, it was thrilling. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about the defense. Both these teams were just really locking down defensively. You know, 122-115, that looks like a regular NBA score until you see that was in double overtime. They need double OT.
That's 58 minutes.
That score. Yes, it was impressive what both these teams were doing. And now, you know, OKC, you know, like you said, I don't want to overreact too much in terms of like our picks or anything. I still, you know, it would pick OKC if we were repicking today.
I don't know that I would.
Really? I mean, that's good.
I don't.
You know, I like I said, you know, when we picked it, I said Thunder and
San Antonio can win at home just by winning four in San Antonio.
They definitely can. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I still think that the Thunder are a good team. They're going to win games. I think they can steal a game on the road in San Antonio and be completely fine. But, you know, it is, you know, seeing that game last night, OKC now has to go look in the mirror, and they have real things that they have to address and fix and figure out how they go into game two to try to stop this Spurs team. Obviously, Victor Wembanyama, it's kind of how much can we stop him? How much can we slow him down? You know, 41 and 24, that can't happen again. You know he's going to get his, but it can't be like that. And so, you know, how do you approach him, and how do you approach some of these other players, and kind of what type of lineups do you want to throw at the Spurs team?
Ryan, you know, I look at almost everything through the prism of local, of what affects around here. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing the party is on in Nashville. Congratulations, as you said, and I agree so much. I think we should somewhat share in it, maybe not at the front of the line as the biggest partiers, but share in that a Super Bowl is coming to the state of Tennessee. Yeah. That can't be a bad thing. I know it's not in Shelby County. I know it's not in West Tennessee. I know it's not inside the 4240 loop. Mm-hmm. I know it's not in the 901, but we still can share in it. And I'm watching Oklahoma City last night, and the networks can, and tonight will be a round town best shots you've ever seen.
Yep.
How the networks will present New York City and Madison Square Garden. But I'm watching Oklahoma City last night, and I think back to a time that of another classic game that I watched, that one in person, a triple overtime game on a Monday night for the Grizzlies and Oklahoma City, and how they have zoomed past us and how far ahead they are. And they're getting ready to move into their next arena while we're fighting over the lease.
It's a good point. You know, obviously we talked about it a lot yesterday, and when Michael Cole joined us, you know, hoping that we get some good news this summer. But yeah, I mean, it hurts when you watch this Oklahoma City team and where they're at on the court. That's one thing, but also kind of where they're at with the city and getting things done. It's just, you know, the wish that could happen here, and that that Memphis and the Grizzlies could get things done and, you know, move forward with a new deal. And so, you know, I still anticipate some news this summer, but until then, you know, that it's still that wondering and hoping and when is it going to get done and will it ever get done question. And yeah, it's very hard to see this Oklahoma City team and what they're doing all around.
It is, and I promise I did not watch envy, petty, jealous. I did not. I just watched going, could we please have somebody lead and get their stuff together?
Yeah. No, I think it's very fair. And hopefully and they get it in order this offseason.
And Brian, I think, again, I think all almost violated what I was getting ready to say. Maybe not having to raise our voices, maybe not having to get too animated, but I think more need to join with us on that. More questions about the lease. Yesterday with DeMichael, I think there will be a lot of opportunity. Most of it will be Zach Kleiman running the personnel side of the team as the general manager. And I don't know that it's entirely fair for him to be berated about it. Mm-mm. But if he's the only one out there, then he's the only one you can ask about what the heck is going on with the lease.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, because I'm fully with Zach Kleiman when he comes out there and has press conferences and gets asked about that and says, look, I'm on the basketball
side
of things.
I just work here.
Yes, I'm worried about the roster and what's on the court. I completely
no,
get
no more
that.
Than we need to berate Rob tomorrow about it, because that's not it's not his call. It's not any different for Zach Kleiman. But if that's the only team official that we can kind of get a swing at, then we're going to ask you until somebody presents themselves.
Yeah.
Hey, right now, and it flew all over me a few years ago when they had the clear the air media availability with Mark Gasol, and it didn't fly over me because I wasn't invited. If you're going to have that, you invite everyone, and whoever shows.
Sure.
I couldn't have gone that day if they'd had it in my front yard, but you don't hand pick for clear the air. Clear the air, I think, is bring on any and all comers with questions.
Definitely.
At some point, make Wexler available to everyone.
Yeah.
And right now, I'll take a small coterie that I know I won't be invited to, and that's fine too. Just somebody get to him and ask some questions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm with him when he says I'm on the basketball side of things. But again, you know, when you're the only person out there, that pressure has to be applied to get some sort of answers. And whether it's he finally gives an answer or, you know, the pressure just builds so much that the Grizzlies feel like they need to put somebody else out there that can answer those questions. You know, something has to happen. I think more clarity, more being open, that can only help the Grizzlies and the fans, the media. I think that can only be a positive rather than a negative.
And clear cut, when I asked DeMichael yesterday, is it mutual or is it more one-sided, Grizzlies or mayor, council, city of, holding things up, he immediately answered Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he definitely did. And I think he is right on that. I think it is the Grizzlies. But we'll see. Hopefully this offseason we get some sort of news on what's going on with the lease and the future for the Grizzlies. But we've got a busy show this afternoon, so let me set it up before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, we'll talk more about last night's game, a 122-115 win for the Spurs over the Thunder. We'll get into that game. What was good, what was bad about that game last night, an all-time classic game one in the Western Conference Finals. 3:45, we'll talk some baseballs. Obviously, we've got some Major League Baseball, some really fun games last night, a lot of games tonight, and also college baseball as conference tournament week, I should say, is happening right now. 4 o'clock, Brent Beard from First Coast News down in Jacksonville. He'll join us. We'll talk a lot of college football with Brent, as it feels like every day more and more news coming out about different teams this offseason. Might get into some college basketball with him, as well as Will Wade, always in the headlines, but making some real headlines earlier today. 4:30, we'll get back into the NBA, talk about the game tonight, the Eastern Conference Finals, game one between the Cavs and the Knicks. We'll start previewing that matchup for later tonight. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Beau Marchant. He'll join us to talk the NFL. A lot of schedule talk with him, as we had the schedule release last Thursday, but a lot of other news and notes from the NFL. 5:30, we'll talk about what's trending, and at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show, like we always do, with Humdinger's Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. Summer is right around the corner, and it's time to get those backyards ready for the ultimate pool party. Above-ground pools starting at $39.99 installed, with in-ground pools starting at just $49.99. All in-stock patio furniture, it's priced to move. Five-piece patio furniture, that's starting at $999, with outdoor sectional starting at just $12.99. Free umbrella and base, it's available with select patio furniture sets. Don't forget about the hot tubs and the swim spas. Hot tubs starting at $34.99, with swim spas starting at just $16.99. Special financing is available, and if you head out there and mention this ad, get $200 off any pool or spa purchase, only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We are Sports Time, live and local and with you until 6 o'clock. He's Brian, I'm Brett, our producer's Landon Schmidt, and we want you to join us by texting or calling the Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line at 901-360-8255. All our guests will join us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. Always live and local from our Family Leisure Studios. Wherever we are always in the Family Leisure Studios. And this hour brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they invite you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500, and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and that makes for the safe, luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it is game one from last night. Spurs and Thunder, 122-115, the final score. They needed two overtimes to decide a winner.
Hey, tell the bells to quiet down a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, the bells are an issue this afternoon, I guess. But a really impressive game one win for the Spurs.
And making all that noise in the hallway,
that's
too.
That's right, yes, yes. But it was the Victor Wembanyama show last night. 41 points, 24 rebounds for him, 3 blocks as well. He did a little bit of everything, but he wasn't the only one. Obviously, a massive stat line for him. But you look at what Devin Vassell did with 13 points, what Stephon Castle did with 17, Dylan Harper. What Dylan Harper has has been doing this season has really, really been remarkable. It's been, I feel like, a little overshadowed by some of the other young players in the league. But last night, 24 points, 11 rebounds, 7 steals for him on the road against this Thunder team. Really, really impressive. Keldon Johnson off the bench with a really nice game, 13 points. On the other side, it was tough for a lot of these Oklahoma City Thunder to get going. SGA, 7 for 23 from the field for most of that game. He was held to about 10 points, finished with 24 points, added 12 assists, 5 steals. So he was doing other things out there to help his team out. Jalen Williams, in his return, he had 26 points and 7 rebounds. And then Alex Caruso, maybe the game of his life last night. 31 points, 11 for 19 from the field, 8 for 14 from 3, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. They put him on Victor Wembanyama down the stretch in the fourth quarter and throughout overtime, and he really held his own, getting lower, kind of that center of gravity, getting low against Victor Wembanyama and giving him some real fits, even though a massive height difference. But the reason they had to put Alex Caruso on big Victor Wembanyama is because Chet Holmgren was unplayable last night. 41 minutes, and it was some of the worst minutes I have seen in a really long time from Chet, and really in a long time from anybody in the playoff. I mean, it was offense was bad, defense was bad, and in that second overtime, the Spurs just left him open. I mean, they were daring Oklahoma City on offense to give Chet the ball and make him beat them, and he couldn't. He missed a couple shots and didn't take another one.
If you're scared, say you're scared.
I mean, he was. He was terrified and couldn't do anything. Really, really poor showing from him. And so now that is the question. What will the Thunder do to try to slow Victor Wembanyama? If Chet Holmgren can't hang with him, who can? I liked what they did last night. I mentioned with Alex Caruso, Jalen Williams, but it's going to be hard to stop him for a full game when you're using two guys that are much smaller. I don't know. You got to do something. I think maybe Isaiah Hartenstein, who only played 12 minutes last night, I think he's got to play more. I know a lot of people have been saying you can't play him in this series, but you got to be creative. You got to do something different, and I think you can do those creative things with Isaiah Hartenstein. Maybe Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren on the floor at the same time, both logging a lot of minutes. We'll see how the Thunder adjust after Game 1, what they look like in Game 2.
My top story, instant classic, double overtime, epic, one to remember, one to remember where you were watching it. Can you imagine those fans in that arena? Even though heartbroken, they saw one of the classics who will be talked about for a long time. For me, up there with in person, the Grizzlies, Oklahoma City, triple overtime game in 2011. And way back to 76 for Celtics, Suns, and triple overtime at Boston Garden in the NBA Finals. Shot making, intensity, competition. You didn't notice the refs because the play was that great. 122-115, double overtime, and hello world for Victor Wembanyama from Lechesnay, not Chesney like Kenny, Lechesnay, France, just outside Paris, closer to the Palace of Versailles than the Louvre, but hang it at both places. Hang the box score in the game in the Louvre and at the Palace of Versailles. He went for 41-24, first player since Wilt Chamberlain in a finals debut, a conference finals debut, to go for 40-20. But Wilt Chamberlain wasn't doing it more than about 8-10 foot from the bucket.
No.
He was doing it from center court on.
He absolutely was. That's a really good point by you.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, it is what LSU basketball is doing right now with Will Wade. As earlier today, it was announced that R.J. Lewis Jr.
Where's Sankey? He stepped in with Bediako against Bama.
That's a great point. I am waiting for him to say something about R.J. Lewis, because this is just ridiculous. R.J. Lewis, who was at St. John's, was Big East Player of the Year, decided to enter the draft, played for not one but two NBA teams, was with the Jazz and then with the Boston Celtics, and now allegedly heading to LSU. Now, the good thing is I don't think he'll step on the court, and if he does, it'll be another Bediako situation. I don't think he'll be out there for long, and this will all get fixed ultimately, I think. But it's just ridiculous that coaches continue to do this. I understand And, you know, it was a weird spot for Will Wade to go over to LSU, lost his entire roster, and then, you know, had some misses. He's trying to be creative, but, I mean, come on. This is just getting
ridiculous.
He's
letting it rip, isn't he? LSU just letting it rip.
I mean, that roster is insane. They've got several EuroLeague guys, you know, I think even more guys that are international prospects, and now R.J. Lewis. So we'll see where this goes and if it gets stopped before the season starts, or if LSU tries to send R.J. Lewis out there for the opening game of the season. But I'm tired. Tired of seeing teams try to go this route and bring former NBA pros, guys that declared for the draft, trying to bring them back to college. I think it is just absurd.
Never mind, they're pro from Europe.
That's right. Yeah, no, plenty of them. They've got their roster is insane. I mean, it's just all European guys.
My not top story, we had another overtime last night in the hockey.
It was so incredible, Brett.
It was good. I was back and forth some. Sudden death in the hockey, not a 5-minute you play to completion, or you could have gone to double overtime, yep. And I thought they were going to play to sun up. First biscuit in either basket wins it in sudden death in the hockey. That's about how much I know about the hockey in Buffalo. They weren't going to win, and we know why. Number one loser sports town in the country.
Yeah.
The four Super Bowls, all the hockey heartache. Losing the Buffalo Braves from the NBA. And they lost them, and that became the Clippers. How would you like to lose the team that became the Clippers?
Oh, man.
Even during the vid, they had the Blue Jays playing in Buffalo, and they couldn't do anything. They can't win in the vid. They can't win in Super Bowls. They can't win in anything.
No, they can't. Brutal.
But they got those falls.
That's right. They got the falls.
And they got those two nice days of summer.
That's right. Only two. I don't know if it gets any more than that. But no, that game was electric last night. It was kind of hard trying to keep up with both, because both were so good, and trying to get eyes on both of those. Really fun sports night last night. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's get to a break. When we return, we're talking more about that game last night, the Spurs win game one in OKC. We'll discuss it more next on Sports Time.
Be sure to download our Hub 901 app for instant access to Sports 56 and all the Flynn broadcasting stations from anywhere. Go to the App Store and get the Hub 901 app today. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Brian and Brett with you, and we've got to talk more about that game last night. Spurs win game one in double overtime in OKC, 122-115. It looked like they were going to win it in regulation. Thunder able to come back and tie it. They go to overtime again, tied at the end of OT, and then second overtime. The Spurs really dominated in that second overtime to get that win. Really didn't even feel close in that second OT with the Spurs kind of running away with it. So really impressive what the Spurs showed last night. Really good game, I thought, on both sides, and now it's the Thunder who need to regroup before game two. Can't go down 2-0 in this series, so we'll see how they bounce back in the next game.
There was really never a point in that game that San Antonio wasn't kind of having the advantage, in control. Not complete control, but in control, and you saw it. Yes, Oklahoma City, I guess they could have. But it would have been a pretty much of a blown opportunity if San Antonio had let that one get away, whether it was in regulation or in either of the overtimes, and pulled away in the second one and won. You know, it looks more comfortable than it really was, but I think it was fairly comfortable.
No, it was. I mean, you know, the Spurs had multiple double digit leads in that game. You know, really came out and kind of punched OKC in the mouth first, and had the lead for a lot of that game. And, you know, really the only time that Oklahoma City, it felt like they were in control was, I guess it was first overtime. They go up by three, and then, you know, Victor Wembanyama hits that, you know, basically logo three to tie the game. And you're going, wow, okay, you know, maybe OKC doesn't have this game. And really from there it was all San Antonio. So yeah,
did you yell out loud what when he made the three?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't want to wake anybody. It was okay. I was kind of late in the night when that was happening.
It was. It did get late. Boy, sitting there in the second overtime, I thought, man, I can't go to bed on this one, can I?
No, no, no. That was and one I didn't. You had to stay
I made
for.
It. Yeah. Dylan Harper was so good. He was so active, could do outside, inside, was at the rack a lot. And that the lane's going to be open if Wembanyama's making any of those, not just from three, but definitely from behind the three. Mm-hmm. And you have to drag out a bigger player from that. Well, voila, getting to the rim's easier.
Yeah, Dylan Harper's been incredible this season as a rookie. You know, has been overshadowed by some of the rookies this year. You know, when you look at some of the other guys in this class that have just been so good and have been starters and lighting it up for their team. The problem with Dylan Harper is he kind of got drafted and got to San Antonio. It's kind of the odd man out. I mean, when you look around, it's Stephon Castle and De'Aaron Fox and some of the guards that they have that are, you know, more, you know, have more experience. He was coming off the bench early in the season, was not getting a lot of run in some of those games in the regular season, but in the playoffs, he has been tremendous. When they've needed him, he has stepped up big time. I mean, you go back to that series, you know, even the series against Portland, but really that series against Minnesota, 18, 11, 24, 15. I mean, he is stepping up when they need him to. And then last night to go out there, have 24 points, you know, 6 assists, 11 rebounds, to do it on the defensive end with 7 steals. One of those rebounds, I can't even remember when it was. If it was in the first overtime or second overtime. But, I mean, he goes up there. The ball gets tipped around a little bit. He comes down with it, is able to keep his balance long enough so that the coaching staff can call a timeout. I mean, he's an awesome player, and I'm glad that, you know, throughout the playoffs he's been in a bigger role so he can shine and people can take notice of what he's doing, because he's a real player. And again, you know, everyone talks about Victor Wembanyama. I mean, they've got a bunch of other dudes on this team that can really go with or without Victor Wembanyama.
And look what they did just last year in the draft. Mm-hmm. Now, the Grizzlies aren't going to be throwing anything from this draft in there with Victor Wembanyama. They are going to be, we hope, mixing and matching players with a more than adequate to, we think, can be a star player. Yeah. I didn't say superstar. I didn't say all-star, but a star player in Zach Edey. Different player than Wembanyama. Anybody's different than Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. But to go with the second pick, Dylan Harper, last year in the draft, and the 14th pick, Carter Bryant, in the draft, that's really doing smart things, and that's how you get out of a hole, is by doing smart things. Help me last year with the lottery. Mm-hmm. With San Antonio, they were the second pick. Yeah. Was it down between Dallas and San Antonio for Cooper Flagg on lottery night?
Dallas made the big jump. I don't remember where San Antonio was going into the lottery last year. I don't know what kind of – if they made a big jump or if they were kind of projected to be down there. I can't remember that far back.
But Dylan Harper, again, and last year at Rutgers, how did they not win more?
Well, you look at the rest of that team, it was really, really poor. I mean,
they go 2-5 in last year's draft, and they couldn't scratch.
No, I mean, they were awesome. Both those guys were terrific at Rutgers. It was just, it felt like they put all the money to those two guys, said, let's get those two guys, and then kind of looked around and said, ooh, we don't have any more money, and we've got to
anything else?
13 more players. And yeah, I mean,
it was that devoid.
Oh, it was the drop off from those two to the next player on the team was, I mean, it was like the Grand Canyon. It was really bad at Rutgers. So, I mean, I guess good for them. They can look up and say, hey, that was our guy. But you're right. I mean, they didn't do anything with him, which is really hard to believe seeing what those guys have done. But you're right. I mean, you know, look at the way they've drafted these last couple of years. And obviously, you know, got really lucky to get the number one pick and land Victor Wembanyama. Not everybody's going to be able to do that. But, you know, the year after that, to go out and get Stephon Castle with the number four pick. And then, you know, last year, like you mentioned, Harper at 2, Carter Bryant at 14, you know, I think Carter Bryant's going to be an awesome player. What he can be defensively is just, I think, really, really elite in the future. I mean, their front office has knocked it out of the park with some of these drafts, some of these moves. We talked so much about De'Aaron Fox, who wasn't out there last night with an injury. But this front office in San Antonio, shocker, they know what they're doing.
They do. And remember all that conversation that we had with Wembanyama, you know, in the lottery, headed to San Antonio. We were just hoping to dodge him in the West, and then to go there, and here they come again for another great run.
Yeah, no, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, it is really remarkable what they've done in a short amount of time, and a lot of that goes to Victor Wembanyama and what he's able to do, but you got to give credit to a lot of those other players. Someone texted in and said, what's behind the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama disliking of Chet Holmgren? We talked about that a little bit yesterday.
Two bulls, one pasture.
Yeah,
that's why.
You know, goes back to high school. They played each other in some of the international tournaments. And I mean, I think both of them have come out and said, like, you know, I think he's fine. I don't have a problem with him. But you can tell out there on the court, they both want to get the better of each other. And there is a growing disdain between those two.
Tell you what I don't see in it. I see Eye of the Tiger one-sided. I see Wembanyama wanting to tear his eyes out. Yeah. I don't see it being returned. Mm-mm. And when you're out there like that, you better return the fire.
Well, he can't. I mean, he just
he can't.
He physically
That's right.
can't. He, I mean,
have
he has no answer, and then he shuts down and literally can't do anything. I mean, he was atrocious last night. I mean,
he was.
I was texting people during that game saying, I don't know what you do. You've got to bench Victor, Chet. Like, he can't play. He is so bad right now on the court. It is hard to watch. Again, when you have to put Alex Caruso, which give him all the credit in the world, I thought he did a great job against Victor Wembanyama. But when you have to put that guy, a guard, on a 7'10 player, a guy that can reach up and touch the top of the backboard, there are problems. Like, there is a big issue there, and it's something that they have to address. I don't know what the answer is. I really do think you've got to get more minutes to Hartenstein. You got to get him out there more. You got to be creative, and you got to be physical with Victor Wembanyama. You saw late in that game, Victor Wembanyama was gassed. Now, luckily for Victor Wembanyama, again, he's 8'2", and all he's got to do is throw his arms in the air, and he's able to grab rebounds. He had a huge rebound late in that game last night, but you could tell, I mean, he was starting to feel it. He was starting to drag a little bit. He was getting tired, and so they've got to be really physical. That's why I think maybe getting a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein out there, even though his deficiencies offensively, and everyone's been saying the Spurs can just leave him open and let him do whatever he needs to do out there, that's fine. You got to be creative. Throw some screens at him. Try to find ways where Isaiah Hartenstein, a Gortat screen, I mean, just get a body on Victor Wembanyama and try to wear him down throughout the game. I think you got to do something. You got to be creative because last night the Thunder had no answer for Victor Wembanyama.
It was a noble effort in this debate, but about 2 hours ago on NBA Afternoon Show with Malik Andrews, I think Amon Shumpert, Danny Green, and Brian Windhorst, that was the panel. And it was bold in all caps. Mm-hmm. Brian Windhorst tried to make the case, and if you look at it like this, that in regulation, they did a pretty good job on Wembanyama.
Yeah.
19-9 in regulation.
Yeah.
And then he exploded in overtime.
Sure. Yeah.
But that their plan wasn't that bad for regulation.
I mean, I think it's a good argument.
Amon Shumpert's reply was,
what was that?
He said, Wendy, did you watch the game last night?
Honestly, I mean, that's the thing. I thought Victor Wembanyama was awesome last night. I thought he could do anything he wanted. And,
me too. But I'm a little bit with that. If you can pencil in or indelible ink in 19-9 the rest of the way, Oklahoma City will win that series for him in regulation.
I mean, maybe. I just think Victor Wembanyama being out there, what he does just being out there. I mean, even if he's not putting stuff on the stat line, his presence.
Even when he bows his head,
huge.
Looks like a fullback running
right.
through there.
Yeah, no, he does like to do that. But I don't know. I think even when he's not putting numbers in the stat book, I think he is still making a huge impact. And I mean, again, like by that argument. I mean, the Spurs led most of the game last night. So, I mean, yeah, Oklahoma City did tie it, but, like, I mean, 19-9, and they led most of the game and had an opportunity to win it in regulation.
22 years old.
Man.
I think by 22, all the growing, you've done all the growing. What if he did grow another inch and a half?
Well, that would be really incredible.
And that's up there. Yao Ming, Manute Bol.
No, you're absolutely right.
And Brian, remember, last year I said, for the rest of, as long as I can, if I can, when the Spurs come through, I go to see him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's the new appointment guy. Remember when mm-hmm. I said that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He is. He's must see. You know, you go out there and you get eyes on him because he is really incredible. And, you know, again, what he was able to do last night was awesome. And then, you know, give credit to the rest of that team for what they were able to do.
You know what they're doing at NBA Europe today, don't you?
Mm-mm.
Just counting all those receipts for jersey sales.
Oh yeah, no, they are they're cashing in. They're definitely cashing in.
Number one Spurs jerseys flying off.
Yep. No, he does a lot of really good things for the NBA. He is good for the league when it comes to internationally. Certainly in France, they love Victor Wembanyama. So we'll see what kind of changes the Thunder make going into Game 2. That will be Wednesday night. So tomorrow night, another game on NBC. 7:30 will be tip time for that one. We'll see if the Thunder can win Game 2 at home, even this up 1-1 before they go down to San Antonio. But let's go ahead and get to another break. When we return, we've got to talk some baseball, some interesting stuff from Major League Baseball last night. Also, we've got college baseball conference tournament week going on. There's a lot of action down in Hoover, Kentucky, up on Vanderbilt right now in game number 2 of the SEC baseball tournament. But we talk some baseball next on Sports Time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
We've actually got one Major League Baseball game going on right now. The Braves and the Marlins in Miami. Top of the third inning, that game got started at 3 o'clock. Marlins up 3-2 currently in that game. But most of the games in Major League Baseball taking place later tonight. Next game, getting a couple games getting started around 5:40. But last night, oh man, a brutal night in L.A. for the Angels as JT Jin, the starting pitcher for the Athletics, takes a no-hitter into the ninth inning. And
I thought it was going to happen. I was about to text you and Rob.
Yeah, it was. No-hitter. It was right there. Three more outs. Gives up a hit in the first at bat. Now the question is, are they going to pull him? Are they need time to get somebody up and warm? And that next at bat, a home run to walk it off. Ball game 2-1.
Boy, the Angels are bad.
Yeah, no, the Angels are not very good. They're fun though, which you know
they got
makes
to deal
them,
Trout.
Yeah, they do.
That salary.
Yeah, they got to do something.
34.
There. They definitely got to do something there, but
that's the definition of tough luck loser.
Oh no, yeah, no, that was really rough last night.
Poor Brian, I hope you rode the over last night on every game in baseball. Look at these scores.
Yeah, I didn't play any totals last night, but it was a overnight. You know, a lot of run. I mean, again, you know, looking at some of these 16-6, the Rays over the
Orioles.
You
always have that one friend that can dissect any comment.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah,
and we make a lot of comments.
Sure.
I've always said I like college baseball. Mm-hmm. I just prefer the big league game
sure.
that I have known more of through my life better. I'm glad how popular it is. I'm glad people are so mm-hmm. proud of it. I'm for college baseball. Don't misunderstand. But I think sometime I have said that, you know, I don't like 11, 10 games. Mm-hmm. I don't. You know, I say that, and my favorite game I've ever been to in my life was 10-9 with the David Freese home run. So last night, or this morning, I woke up to that friend and go, hey, you and your old traditional baseball, 12 runs, 16 runs, 16 runs. I mean,
yep.
You know, it was just, I mean, every time you looked up, somebody was crossing home plate, another 12 last night.
No, it was runs galore last night across Major League Baseball.
One zip, Padres Dodgers.
That's right. Yeah. Those late games, a couple of those, like, you know, like you said, 1-0 Padres Dodgers, 2-1 Angels Athletics, 6-1 Mariners, White Sox. So kind of the late night games, kind of it slowed a little bit down, but you did have, you know, Giants and D-backs 12-2 in that one. So it was a little bit of a mix in there, but it was mostly a lot of runs around Major League Baseball. Last night we had a debut last night in Seattle as Colt Emerson, the top prospect in the Mariners organization, got called up, hits a home run in his first Major League game. So nice show.
I saw his first at bat. I missed the home run.
Yeah, the home run was super late. I think that was in the eighth inning maybe. Yeah, his last at bat, he gets the home run. He was 0 for 3 going into that at bat, and you know, we'll see what he looks like. A lot of excitement around him in Seattle and what he can be. They locked him up on the big contract earlier this year, so you know, they've got him locked in, I think 8 or 9 year deal, so they've got him locked down for a while, and we'll see what he can become, and if he can become another piece in kind of this young core for the Seattle Mariners. But a much needed win for them last night against the Chicago White Sox, so maybe moving in the right direction for Seattle.
What was it that I did see early in the game? Their manager was really hot over something. What was he so sore about?
I didn't get to see the whole game. I was locked in on the basketball and the hockey. So baseball was kind of it was out last night until those games were over, and then I flipped it over to Seattle and Chicago. So I missed that. I don't know what he was all
Victor Wembanyama, born January of 2004. Colt Emerson, born July 20th. 2005.
How about that?
Yeah, he hadn't turned 21 yet.
It's weird to look at some of those birthdays of some of these young guys getting to the pros. But you know, it was cool to see him get that home run last night in his first game. And man, the Seattle needs something to get excited about, because it has been a really rough start to the season for them.
A lot of teams just kind of treading water.
Sure. No, they definitely are. And so you know, they got to get some things figured out. But that's a lot of teams across Major League Baseball right now, and we'll see what it looks like tonight. Cardinals in action against the Pirates.
Topless Tuesday at Busch Stadium,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
Well, and I don't know if you saw last night, but it was making its rounds around Major
Everywhere.
League Baseball. It'd be original. I mean, get your own thing. I mean, you know, it was very organic what happened in St. Louis over the weekend.
I'm scared of what comes next.
Nothing organic about what I saw last night across Major League Baseball. So, I mean,
everybody's getting into it.
They are. They have, hey, you know, they see it going viral, and they want a piece of it, and it works. All these local networks, they put the cameras on them, so they get their TV shine, I guess.
Well, it's bringing some energy to the ballpark and young people.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is. Look, good
and,
for them.
And the best things are stuff marketing and PR never think of.
No, absolutely not. And that's not something you can think of in marketing. Let's just have everybody take their shirts off and in the outfield. And
who knew this Stephen F. Austin team would lead the way?
Yeah, who did not see that coming.
And a good idea I saw online on Twitter at a Cardinals site. It said the Cardinals are to be offering, you know, some local teams. That every night to show and set in the tarps off seats.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I haven't seen that, but yeah, I mean that's kind of the issue. Is it was fun the two games that they were in town for, but they go back home and now what are you?
And they got work to do of their own.
That's right. I mean they got to get back to school. I guess school's over by now, but they're not in St. Louis every single week to go to these games. So yeah, you know, can you continue to generate that? I don't think that's a bad idea. You know, get some of the local colleges, local high schools, you know, different things like that. Get them involved and try to keep that going and keep the energy, because it was clear. You know, everybody noticed that energy across Major League Baseball. The team was acknowledging it. Coaching staff was acknowledging it. So definitely some good stuff for them. But we'll see what the Cardinals look like tonight against the Pirates as they get into the division this week. And we'll see a lot of familiar faces, and should be fun. So should be a good night of Major League Baseball. But let's get to another break. Wrap up this first hour when we return. Brent Beard from First Coast News in Jacksonville. He joins us to talk some college football, a little college basketball. We do that next with Brent.